Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. All right. You know, we're always looking for good stories. And Gabrielle is a tribe member, and she was nice enough to send us some information on a story that has picked up a little steam with News 12. And I was talking to her last night on the phone, and she's like, I don't want any I said, just come on and tell the story. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Right. So bring us through this.
I was driving around. I don't even know what time it was during the day. I think it was Friday, making my rounds, feeding my cats that are hungry out there. The homeless
now they're
cats.
Not, yeah, homeless cats.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, so, you know, I feed them, and I don't know. I was driving through this under the bridge, under the highway on Fairfield Avenue, downtown Bridgeport, and there's always some homeless people, but there was this one person with a dog that I never noticed before. And I thought, oh, no, we better give him some food and some water. And thank God people were driving by and giving him food and water, but, you know, he needed a little bit more. So I asked him if I could make some phone calls. Is there anything we can do? And he explained to me, homeless shelters don't allow people in with pets. So it's a huge problem for him. And I just wanted to help. I thought there's got to be something out there that somebody or something out there that can help this poor man. I mean, the dog is so sweet. And this person, too, he's such a nice, humble, sincere man. One thing led to another. I made some phone calls. And then before you know it, Channel 12 News got involved, aired the story. But the reason why they aired the story, I think, is because the next day after I met him, he was stabbed 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Both him and his dog. I know it was awful, but he's okay. He had, you know, the ambulance came. The gentleman is okay. The dog, we got the dog to the vet the next day. Thank God the knife wasn't huge. But I had to post things on Facebook. I made phone calls, and without people on Facebook, I would not have been able to do all this. We got the dog to the vet. He's okay. They were phenomenal at the emergency clinic in Newtown. And the person who donated to pay the vet bill, she came there and met me personally, Holly Higgeman. What a wonderful person. And again, I would not have been able to do any of this without her and people on Facebook. And I'm just getting a little emotional. Sorry. And the dog's going to be okay. He's such a sweet soul. He loves people. He was so happy in my car. He actually sat in my lap when I was driving. I couldn't get a picture of that. But when I brought him back, you know, they're back on the street, under the bridge, on the cement, in a sleeping bag. And we have to do better for him. We just have to find him something. I want to get him clothes, a place to stay. We have to bring the dog back to the vet. Obviously, there'll be a little bit more of the vet bills. We want to get the dog cleaned up, maybe possibly get neutered. So that's why I'm just creating awareness to just please help homeless people or animals, whatever you can do, or even in this situation. Roger, the poor man who was stabbed, you know, he is injured somewhat, so we have to help him get off the street.
How's he doing now? Is he recovering?
He's doing really good. We got him to a hotel yesterday with some of the donations that were coming in, and he's such a humble man. He already asked me 3 times in the past 3 days, how can I repay you?
Oh, my God.
And he offered to actually clean my garage, which is in shambles. I mean, and he's injured, and I says, no, it's okay. You know,
so he saw your garage?
Yeah, he did. And
that's
he still
that's
offered.
When you know your garage is bad, by the way, when right. Someone who's living out in the street says, let me clean this
that's
for you.
That's a mess. That's a mess. That's messed
that's,
up.
You know,
that's blight.
Gabriella,
yeah.
It's time to clean the garage.
Right.
Yeah. What a guy. Listen, AJ, how often do you hear that? You know, yeah. Someone's getting a hand and they say, how can I repay this?
Exactly,
you
know? Yeah. Not often.
Yeah. So what's the deal with this guy? He looks young. I saw pictures that you sent.
Yeah, I think he's 42 or 43 from what the news said, and he did tell me that, and he said he didn't have the best childhood, but a lot of people, not everyone has the best childhood, but he said it was a little rough, so maybe that's why he's a survivor, and he's just, you could just tell he's not your typical homeless person, you know, he's not choosing to be out there. I know the dog, he can't just walk in the store and leave the dog anywhere. He can't just walk into a homeless shelter. He doesn't want to give up the dog to foster care while he gets up off his feet. We had a good conversation yesterday. They were so happy when they got to the hotel, just jumping up and down. The dog was stretching and all over the place, all over the bed, all over the carpet, twirling around. I mean, he's just unbelievable. And he's 8 years old, but I'd like to look into getting him maybe neutered, and get him cleaned up, get him a nice bath. Because again, Roger would love to give him a bath, but he has two injuries, one on each hand. So,
oh, man. Yeah. So what was the stabbing about? Was that a robbery?
No, actually, believe it or not, it's actually pretty decent. And they don't really mess, I think, with the homeless people too much in that area. And another person was just walking by with their dog the person walking by didn't see the dog. The dog was under the blanket. Again, this dog and this man are sleeping in a sleeping bag on the sidewalk.
Yikes.
So, of course, the two dogs got into it. So it was basically self-defense, I think, just to break up the fight. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Where can we go if we want to donate some money to help Roger?
The link is on my Facebook, and I can certainly forward it to you if you'd like to post it on your website, but it is on my Facebook. And Holly Higgeman also has it on her Facebook, too, so it is circulating.
Right.
Yeah, she donated some good money for this, right?
Yeah.
Yes, she did.
She's a big dog lover.
She set up a lot because I have a busy schedule. She actually set up the hotel. She's going to be in charge of donations. I know Channel 12 News also has the link on the website for anyone who would like to, donation. Anything would be helpful.
That's great.
Yeah, we'll put it up there. This is a great way to feel good.
Yep.
Help somebody, homeless man with a dog.
In a place
yes, I never
yep.
done this before.
I love his commitment to that dog.
Right.
Like he would rather sleep out on the sidewalk under a bridge than give that dog up and get some help in a homeless shelter.
Plus maybe you get a job too, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Gabrielle? You've never done this?
I've never done this before, so I hope this inspires people to help a homeless person, even if it's just a phone call. Or anything, a ride.
You've never done anything like this before, but you're out every morning at like 4:30 feeding cats.
Yes, yeah. Yes, but those are animals,
Yeah.
And the neighbors are great. There's actually neighbors that are out there at that hour. So even though it's not the best neighborhoods, but there are nice people out there also who thank me and bless me for feeding the cats. And you know, they're nice. I mean, it's all about teamwork, and that's all I'm asking for is just everyone to pitch in.
Yeah, no, this is great. I love this story. I mean, I don't love that he's out in the cold under a bridge, but I love the story that everyone's helping one another.
Exactly.
Typically, when I hear about Facebook and reacting together, it's a negative story. Oh. This is the good thing that Facebook can bring. It brings us together to help someone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Use it that way.
Right. This is how it should be used.
Yeah. Not trolling or...
Let's not burn someone down. Let's build someone up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
And we got a scooter going. I mean, so many people pitched in, you know, not just dropping off water and food, but somebody came by and they helped fix this scooter. I mean, so many people.
This guy's a veteran?
And not everybody is on Facebook. There was people who were walking by that was helping.
Is Roger a veteran? Did I read that somewhere?
No, he's not.
Okay.
But such a sincere man. So well-mannered. So polite. I mean, what a kind soul.
All right, so Ashley found the link, and she's going to post it up on the radio station websites. Chaz and AJ, too. Gabrielle, thank you for giving us an example of how we should act.
You're a good person.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
Dog's name is Bub.
Bub.
Bub. Bub.
But two B's on the end.
Yes.
What's up, Bub?
Bub. Almost like Bubba.
Right.
But we shortened it to Bub.
To Bub.
Hey, Bub. Bub.
Yeah, Bub.
Hey, Bub.
Hey, I don't Bub.
The page is called Bub and Roger.
Wow. I'll top
post
billing.
It.
Nice.
Bub gets top billing.
Of course.
Bub
he's so
Roger.
Cute.
Yeah.
Black and white dog. Right.
Yeah, cutie. That's a great story. I love that story. This is from the New Haven Register. If you are a landscaper and, you know, use a leaf blower, you may want to pay attention to this story.
Uh-oh.
New Haven Register. Loud polluting gas leaf blowers are under attack in Connecticut. Environmental public health activists are getting louder in their opposition to the machines. We have someone who is kind of behind this fight on the phone. Dan Delventhal, founder and owner of Mo Green in Fairfield. What's the deal? What's wrong with a leaf blower? Dan?
It interrupts phone calls.
Dan?
Dan!
Dan, Dan, Dan.
Dan?
Dan.
Hello, can you hear me okay?
There you are now.
I can when you talk.
Right.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh,
what's wrong with gas leaf blowers?
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people are noticing. They're really loud. They're actually off the charts in terms of noise, which is why people across many towns are now changing the laws to restrict their use because more people have been working from home, and they're noticing, holy cow, that's disturbing. The noise is so loud it can damage your hearing.
Oh.
And
if you're using it without ear protection.
Yeah, they're always wearing those earmuffs.
That's right. But even within, you know, like 40, 50 feet, it can damage your hearing. It's really off the charts.
Wow, is that proven?
There's
feet
a lot
away.
Of science on.
No.
50 feet away. That's if I'm if I'm 50 feet away all day, right? It's not how long is it going to be out in your yard?
Every day.
10, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Once a week? You know?
Well, sometimes it seems like hours, especially in the spring when the typical landscapers lined up, you know, three or four in a row, like an infantry line, stripping debris, you know, leaves and sticks and acorns from one end to the other. So, largemouth bandom year-round. So it's interesting, meeting after meeting, I've been going to attend. The reason I go is because I'm a working model that shows you don't need to use gas leaf blowers. The problems with them, besides the noise, and the noise is low frequency, so it penetrates walls, and there's health impacts, you know, over 100 feet. It makes it hard to concentrate.
I'm going to skip forward to the end because we know, look, they're noisy. They don't have emissions on them.
Right.
So you smell it, all of this stuff. Let's skip to the end.
Yeah.
How much are these leaf blowers that you're proposing, and are you selling them?
Oh, I don't sell them. I use them. I'm a lawn service, and I'm an alternative to the polluting. They're about, you can get a good one, a handheld, for about $300 with a good battery. And those are they're rated
battery.
At 650 CFM. And what that means is cubic feet per minute. Now, a lot of landscapers want 1,000 CFM. They really want to just blow the stuff from one end to the other as fast as they can. They want as much power as they have. It's because of the practices where they think, okay, I'm getting a fixed fee. I'm going to strip everything end to end, and that's how I do it. That's how I make my money. But unfortunately, it's bad for the environment to do it that way, too, to strip everything from the land. You're losing topsoil. You're killing insects and reptiles, and it's a bad practice. So beyond missionaries who are out trying to restrict the use of gas leaf blowers, there's also people out trying to
come in for the damn leaf blowers now.
The leaf blowers.
Couldn't they just put like a better muffler on these things, make them quieter?
Well, some are a little quieter.
Are you listening to Dan? He's like, All right, they're loud.
Right.
Toxins in the air.
Right, killing reptiles.
They're stripping the land of insects. Like, okay, I'm fine if you blow my ants out into this.
Yeah, get rid of the ticks for me. That'd be awesome.
You know, yeah. I'm not going to be like, hey, you put those ants right back over here.
Right, those are my ants. I numbered them.
Just imagine a little frog flying through the air.
Last time. Exactly right. Splat, splat, splat. Yep.
You must not be popular in your landscaping friend circle.
Oh, no, here it comes.
I don't think so. I get sniped a little bit on the threads. But think about this. What if the way we're doing lawn care is causing the food web to collapse?
Wow.
And it's going to affect us.
Give me an example.
Think about this. You look at the half-earth movement, half-earth wild movement. E.O. Wilson, a scientist who started it, Doug Tallamy.
We're going too far out.
All right, but think about
real or bad.
I know I do ask to start at the end and work our way back, but this is way so far out.
It's a proven fact that leaf blowers killed dinosaurs.
How about the bees?
There was Grog. There was Grog the caveman. they all dropped dead.
That damn leaf blower.
Exactly.
It was all good.
Exactly. It also caused the earth to rotate differently. And we had the ice age.
What were you saying about the bees, Dan?
Yeah, bees. What's up?
Think about the bees. We've lost 30 to 40% of our insects and birds. How did that happen? It's because everyone says, blow the ants off my property. Quite literally.
That doesn't sound scientific.
If my aunt shows up, blow her off the property entirely. Daddy!
But seriously, there's a lot of science that says, oh, goodness, we have to keep some good biodiversity and native plants to feed the insects and birds because, we need a continuous bloom cycle of native plants. So we have all these invasive plants. It's the pollinator pathways coming to a doorstep near you. They're going to ask you to try to keep some native plants going, change your lawn care practices.
Does pot count?
Because
I like when the birds fly into the side of my house. Tweet, tweet. Oh. Stay out of the pot plant.
back to leaf blowers. For the landscapers who really want the same power, with electric that they can get with gas. Now, if you use an electric leaf blower, it's practically zero emission. Even if you're charging batteries at a power plant burning coal, which is illegal, there's got to be 20% clean energy.
Dan, hold on 1 second.
Sure.
Yeah, just hold on right there, because I'm interested in this. And there are a lot of landscapers listening right now, and a lot of people who use landscapers.
Actually, they can't hear right now.
This could be a storm coming
through. What? I got to use my 1,200 horsepower thing over here to blow the ants off the property.
Dan, hold on 1 second.
Don't move. What?
He's making points, but I just know somehow it's going to cost us all more.
He hears really well.
Yeah. But this thing in Route 8, it's a thing. And Tara, we're getting a couple calls now. Oh. Tara?
Yes, hi.
Hi. What's going on?
So I just drove Route 8 southbound, and there's no accident at all. It looks like the cops have the road completely blocked the highway, and they're looking for something on the side of the road.
A gun.
Yep. A leaf
something.
Blower.
Yeah, there's no one else there. There's no accident. There's no nothing. Okay. They're directing them off the highway, the exit before.
Okay. There may have been a road rage. I'm just speculating here, but there may have been a road rage incident with a gun, or maybe they were chasing someone and they caught up with them and they knew that the beginning of the chase they had a gun and they don't have a gun.
Right. They tossed
it. So we don't know. But all right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. You're welcome. Have a good one.
You too. Ross.
Yeah, there's four state police guys walking in between exit 4 and 5 side by side looking for stuff on the side of the highway.
I lost my gum. No.
Yeah, it could be. Could be.
It's backed up from exit 4 all the way back to 95.
It's nuts. If they're doing this, it's something important.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
It says crime scene on the side of the truck that's parked out there, too.
Yeah. And now, the text that I got is someone who knows someone, and he mentioned it's a shooting investigation. Wow. So I have a feeling that a gun was fired.
Yep.
You know. But we'll find out. None of this is confirmed. So, all right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, Russ. So how bad is this traffic now, Ashley? Like, bad?
It's pretty bad. I mean, the highway is just shut down.
Yeah.
So you're not going to go anywhere fast.
And then what is shut down?
So 825 connector northbound in Bridgeport between exit 4 and exit 5.
Think about that, the connector.
Oh.
Route 8 northbound in Trumbull between the Route 25 split and exit 8.
Wow.
And there's another accident I'm seeing here also on Route 8 southbound in Derby, so different area.
Wow, wow. Okay, so, man, does it feel like we're completely back to work now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, Dan, back to you, the leaf blower thing.
Yes.
Dan.
Let's talk about commuting. I used to run a cloud company, and our tag was more compute, less commute. I was trying to get people to stay home in 1999.
That's a clown company.
Wow,
that's why they all rode in one car. Less traffic.
Well, you know, there's a lot of science on gas leaf blowers. One of the things they point out is if you run one of those babies, the pollution that it puts out. Let's say you use it for half an hour. The pollution it puts out is like driving a truck to Oregon. I mean, that's a lot of emissions. So it ought to be illegal, because you can buy electric leaf blowers, which are as powerful. But as I mentioned, you don't need
that
to get them as
extension cord.
I know, man. Mm-hmm. Mine always comes apart. The last part right there. Just about to blow the rest of it onto my neighbor's lawn. It goes.
Well, we use battery-powered stuff, and we take care of over 60 acres a week.
Wow.
All electric. But here's the thing. We not only use no gas leaf blowers, we use no gas anything. We do battery-powered mowing,
what?
Trimming, edging, hedging, aerating.
You got a zero turn? What size bed on it?
I've got a 5 foot zero turn and a handful of 4 foot zero turns.
How long will that run?
Even their shoes don't squeak.
Yeah, that'll run, I would say, continuously 6 hours.
Wow.
Holy crap.
Which is
how much is that compared to a regular zero turn? 5 foot.
The entry price is about twice of a regular gas powered.
There you go.
Turn.
I mean, these are people that are doing lots.
Time
it's
out.
Hard.
Time out.
Come on,
Get your finance book out and your calculator. The return on investment for the upfront price is actually positive. You make a double digit return when you buy an electric commercial mower because of the lower cost of ownership due to the lower cost of fuel and maintenance. So 3 years in, 4 years in, you're in the black.
All right, you're not getting killed with the batteries,
yeah. Right?
No. You actually, it's less. It costs less to own and operate electric equipment.
Does the state give you some kind of a deal at the end, either tax incentive or green energy, whatever?
That whole thing.
Oh man, I wrote a proposed bill to give Connecticut property owners. An income tax break on Connecticut income taxes. I was just looking for something easy to administer. But it did get proposed in within the past year of legislative sessions in Connecticut, but it didn't fly. Yeah, Connecticut's not doing anything. So I'm if you look at what they're doing,
that's
in
our
California,
slogan. Connecticut's not doing anything.
In California, if you're a landscaper and you've got one of these, let's say, $12,000, a zero turn mower, they'll let you trade in and get like a $24,000 riding electric mower for your old mower plus $6,000. So it's
but California's not a good model for anything. That place is going to implode. People are moving out of there by the droves, and financially, I mean, if you drive through any major city in California, it looks like something from a third world country.
Oh, really?
It's not a good example.
Yeah.
Connecticut's doing so well because people are running out of New York now because it's just not running.
Oh, right.
I don't know if California is a good example. But listen, I'm fascinated by this. I want to talk to you about it, at another time.
Right.
We got to do dumbass news.
Right. Yeah.
It's where AJ shines.
Exactly right. Yeah, it's about me.
All right. I'm not as against this as I was before, but I do think that this is tough for a lot of people who own landscaping companies to get, you know, to mandate it,
yeah,
you know, maybe encourage, but to make them do it, I think would be tough.
You put your jacket on.
Well, you know, it's for $1,000. Let's say they spend $1,000 or $2,000, and they adhere to the terms of a restriction that asks you not to use gas blowers in the summer, because most of these are really soft shoe. You know, most of them are saying, you know, just don't use in the summer because that's the worst. You don't really need in the summer. We'll let you use in the spring and fall. So instead of objecting, spend $1,000 or $2,000, and just use electric, because electric's better. It's better for your workers. It's better for the environment. It's better for your customers. It's better for everybody. And the cost, it costs less to own them.
I will say, I never thought I would say this out loud because I'm, you know, whatever. I just think people should be able to do whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sitting outside in my yard on a Saturday morning, and then the landscaper shows up over here.
Okay.
And then about, you know, they get done, and it's quiet for like 10 minutes. Like, ah, that's nice. Well, there's a landscaper over, or whatever. The guy turns his mower on. I don't know if it's a landscaper or not, but, you know, here comes the mower. It's like, you know, we should, and now I'm sounding like that jerk that I hate. We should coordinate a time where, like, let's mow all the lawns at the same time.
Leaf blower time.
Right. Yeah. 9 o'clock start. Go.
Right. Let's go. Yeah.
Gentlemen, start shot mowers.
Can we do this, like, Wednesday after work?
Right. It's the mower 500.
Yeah, I know. I'm turning into that person.
What? I can't hear you. There's a blower going.
Dan, what? I like you. All right. Thank you, brother. Sydney Joe of Ann Arbor, Michigan, recently asked TikTok for advice after getting herself trapped in the metal bars of a black folding chair. Here's her plea for help.
Hello, everyone. You might be wondering what I'm doing. For the last 30 minutes, I have been trying to get unstuck out of this metal chair. I'm literally stuck in it and I can't get out. And I'm panicking because I don't know what to do. I'm literally walking around like this.
You can see the metal chairs.
Yep.
She's in there. And you're just like suck in as hard as you. I literally can't. It's on my tailbone and my pelvic bone. I don't know how I got in. I'm filming this.
That's weird,
video.
Isn't it? Yeah. You got in, you should be able to get out.
Yeah, and I felt as she was pushing the chair down over her ass, I was like, you could push a little harder.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not believing you're really stuck.
Right.
And really, the headline here for me is, there's stuck fetish?
I had no idea.
Did anyone know?
No, I did not.
There's a whole world out there I don't know about.
Oh, I want to do something like Fetish Friday, and we just explore all these different... Oh. I didn't know there's a stuck fetish.
Right. I guess people stuck in things?
Yes. Right. Stuck fetish.
Like stuck in the washing machine?
That would be people stuck at things. Right. What else would there be? Can someone Google this? Stuck fetish? I'm so fascinated.
Yeah, I'm working
stuck
on it.
Stuck in a rock in a hard place.
Like you tried to crawl through the little doggy door.
Right.
Oh, no.
Right. I'm stuck.
Right. What else? Stuck fetish. Right.
My butt's facing the camera in this doggy door.
Oh, look, my butt's facing the camera. Oh,
that wasn't planned at all.
Yeah, exactly right, yeah. I'm stuck under this fence. Oh.
She said fans pay $1.99 a minute
really?
To watch her get herself stuck and then get free.
Wow.
I want to break free.
I could be making so much money.
Yes, you could. You trying to get into your pants?
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Right? You trying to get the story?
Can I just off subject here for a second?
Okay.
Off the air, she asked me, this was last week, is it true Pornhub pays you $36,000 for a video? I just acted like I didn't hear her. How am I supposed to know?
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Action 37.
Just gathering information.
Right. For a friend, right?
She's got a wedding to do.
For a friend.
She can't stop planning.
Yeah. Oh, $1.99 a minute.
Right.
So she couldn't get the chair off of her.
Nope.
And so she calls the fire department. Here's now the fire department arriving. And it's edited. It's when they walk in and then they try to get the chair off of her.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, you didn't get it stuck in it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Anybody yet? But you're the first one today, so.
Extra points for the project.
Cutters?
Yeah. Yeah.
Big bolt cutters for it.
Bolt cutters?
Get stuck in those, too.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah. So these are our bolt cutters.
Oh, my God, really?
Sorry. Cut it with a saw.
So just watch that finger. Pull her down.
Oh my God.
All right.
I wouldn't step on
you. Go ahead and step on you, okay?
Those were the jaws of life.
All you need is a hacksaw.
It sounded like a saw.
Yeah, it was the jaws of life.
Jaws of life.
That was overkill, yeah.
I thought the jaws of life was the contraption that opens up. It's like an A, and it opens up.
Yeah, they have two different kinds. This kind looks kind of like a giant bolt cutter.
It's a pneumatic, yeah.
The same way. It's pneumatic, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yep.
Wow. You know, I don't know if I'm a taxpayer there. I want my friggin' money for this. I want her to pay for that firefighter visit.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Or get stuck in the ladder or something.
She's clearly got the money for it.
Yep.
So part of my brain says that, or I want a free subscription to her channel for a month.
Right.
I don't know.
Right, watch her get stuck in things.
Yeah, does that really...
By the way, she wasn't even naked. She was fully clothed when she was stuck in the chair. So, I heard fetish. I just immediately assumed she'd be nude.
Right, no.
Fully clothed.
No, it's just her stuck.
I feel like I must be the weird one because I don't have a fetish.
Nothing?
No. Wow.
I don't really.
Not that I know of.
Wow.
How would I?
Not that I know of.
How would I know? I must.
Was there a certain thing you like?
Like what I click on, or I don't know. I have a real estate fetish.
There you go. You're a real estate
I like
fetish.
Clicking on houses and seeing them come on the market and looking through them. Is that a fetish?
And how's that make you feel?
What do you see when you look for it? You're just like, ooh, that's a good one.
That's a large piece of property. Oh my God.
I do see how the house can be improved.
Right.
I can see how the agent could have taken better pictures or actually took the time to write up the description.
Yeah, I think it's more of
sell it.
That's more of an obsession.
I'm like, really, that's all you're going to do for this friggin' house?
Yeah, that's more of an obsession.
Oh, I have bonded with Jonathan Carbuti over
this. More of an anal retentive recession, yes.
I think it's more of an obsession, too. A fetish would be having sex at houses that are currently for sale.
Like, oh, my God.
That's okay. Different,
no,
I think.
But not all these fetishes are sexual. That is not a sexual. Seeing a woman or whoever, person, thing, stuck
actually,
in something.
I actually think a person who watches that actually gets sexual pleasure from seeing her stuck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the fetish part.
That's
of it.
The right. fetish part.
Okay. So there's a sexual...
arousal.
Excitement.
There's an arousal.
Of seeing her stuck.
Oh, she's stuck. Yeah, look at her. Yeah.
So
in
they're
the
imagining.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop. Okay.
Stop.
Yeah, please. My ears.
I was imitating a creeper person.
Too
Were
well.
Were you imitating?
Too well.
Hey, look who's in studio, AJ.
Hey, look at that. Ashley, not now.
Sorry.
That's me being excited.
Nice.
Thanks for having me, guys. Wow. COVID-topia. Does this mean it's over? Is that long weekend trapped at home, that lasted for, 14, 15 months?
It's a long weekend.
Of unmitigated bliss?
Let it be known, the first in-studio guest we've had since March 6, 2020, after COVID, was an attorney howling like a wolf.
Right.
I object. I'm back, just like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. I'm so thrilled to be back. Thanks for having me.
It's really weird to have someone in studio.
I know.
It's, like it's weird.
There's a person in the chair. Yeah. That mic's being his.
I don't have my mask. I left my surgical glove. Where's my hazmat suit? Dr. Fauci, do I dare to eat a peach? Don't get me started.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, Chaz and AJ in the morning. Attorney Norm Pattison, studio.
Yay.
So before I go back to what we were talking about.
Yes.
Did you watch the Gone Mom special that featured Fotostulis and that?
No,
deal, and you were supposed to be in it, or
I never watch these things because I just get irritated by them. And also, in the Fotis Doulos case, I agreed not to talk about it. So,
say agreed, does that mean you signed something that says
I agreed not to talk about it? That's all I'm going to say.
Right.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. All right.
I am
he
no
knows
fun.
What I'm saying, yes.
I am no fun.
All right.
On that topic, but you can talk about the case fun. The next night, which was also one of mine, which was the Manhattan Man.
Is that weird?
Yeah, I know it was. Yeah.
You have two in a row?
Yeah, wow, look at you.
Yeah.
But I didn't watch that one either. So many years ago when
book.
I'd have a case that was so-called high profile, I'd think, oh, wow, I've got a 13th juror. I'll read the newspaper and know what everybody's thinking. bad idea. I mean, I think court reporters do their best. I think the public does its best. I think watching trial is a lot like watching ice melt, unless you're trying the case. But it's invariably the case that different people see differing things. And sometimes when I read press accounts or watch stories about a case, I'm blown away. It's not the case. Yeah. I mean, they've made stuff up. And then, you know, the question is, how much of what they've made up matters? Or in legal speak, how much of it's material? Usually not enough. They usually compress events to serve narrative flow.
Right.
But it doesn't feel right, you know, and it bugs me. So I don't watch that
stuff. You stay away from it.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about fetishes in the dumbass news break.
I heard that. You're telling me you don't have a fetish.
My wife texted me. I do have a fetish.
Oh,
apparently.
Really?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Boobs. Is it answering texts?
Yeah, I have a boob fetish.
Oh, boobs.
Yeah.
Is that normal, though?
Yeah,
that's normal. Norm. Not right now, man. Get money for Christ's sake.
How does that do for you there?
Get an OnlyFans page.
That's hairier than
do
I like.
Hairy boobs do it for you.
Yeah, that'd be granny boobs, yes.
I don't know if that counts.
Yeah.
That doesn't count,
that's
right?
Somebody
it's just normal.
Yeah.
Well, right. As a lawyer, I have come to learn a little bit about the human dark side, and I have represented people that may have been attracted to the wrong way, to the wrong thing in the wrong way at the wrong time to the right degree. I'm paraphrasing Aristotle's ethics there, who counsels moderation in all things. But I mean, look, we're a fetishized culture. We use sex to sell everything. Why are high heels such a big deal? Why are booties such a big deal? Why are breasts such a big deal? Why is a good-looking woman selling you a car and telling you how to brush your teeth? They're trying to get a charge out of us. And every now and then, some people color outside the accepted libidinal lines, and we either declare their fetish a way of expressing themselves and cherish them for their differences, or we say, that's weird. Now, in our day and age, we're having a hard time drawing a line between what's weird and what's acceptable. So fetishists of the world, unite. You have nothing to lose but your inhibitions. That's Karl Marx.
So some fetishes are not so weird, right? Like a foot fetish.
Foot AJ fetish is more common, yes. Female only, yes. But
don't you think getting stuck in something and having people pay to watch? Is that a weird
I think thing? It's weird. I mean, I was listening, and I didn't see the presentation. I mean, it's literally the case that somebody getting stuck in a chair turns people on.
Well, you represented the Manhattan Madam. She must have had clients that had fetishes, right?
Yeah.
Well, so yes, Manhattan, and she's very discreet. She's never named her clientele.
So, world famous case,
right? Yeah. So, but one of the stories. Well, here's the funny story. So, I get the call. Can I come? Would I consider representing her? Yeah. So, I'm supposed to stay overnight at some place in Greenwich Village, and then we're going to go out a couple of us to see her at Rikers Island the next morning. So, I say to my wife, "Wow, this is kind of exciting." She says, "Why is that?" Well, I said, I don't know what to expect in the apartment. And you know, one way or another, one of us is going to be disappointed. There's either going to be nothing, and I'm going to be disappointed, or there's going to be something, and you're going to be disappointed. So I get there, and nothing happens. So I go to talk to her, and I'm, you know, it's a sexually charged atmosphere, because here is the woman who controls Twisted Desire in Manhattan, which has to be the capital of Twisted Desires.
Were there some big names tied into this?
Yeah, but let me finish.
Okay.
She tells, I said, give me an example of the kind of service you provided. With a twinkle in her eye, she says, well, you know, if you've got enough money, I can arrange to have you abducted from Central Park, tossed into the back of a limousine with leather-clad mistresses and dildo raped. And I said, well, I think I'll pass on that. But
I might hit that dump.
You know, so she described a variety of activities. You know? And I said, well, how much would that run? She said $30,000, $40,000. And so, you know, she never named a name, not even to me. She made suggestions. But here's a funny story. Dr. Phil paid good money for a couple interviews with her. And the second one was going to air just before the Super Bowl. And hypothetically speaking, she may or may not have had libidinal connections to management of the New York Giants. I'm not saying she did.
Right.
I'm just saying hypothetically that could happen. So Dr. Phil makes an announcement on Super Bowl weekend, or just before Super Bowl weekend, Manhattan Madam, she's going to tell all. He got more than 100 letters from lawyers in New York saying, if you name my client, we're going to sue you until your teeth.
What does that tell you?
A lot of clients.
Yeah. Yep. So she,
team.
She's out of the business now. Actually, I spoke to her last weekend. She's about ready to come out with a line of children's books of all things. Yeah,
that's weird.
Are they pop-ups?
Don't
read the book!
Let the mysteries tuck you in, young man.
The cow over the moon together, yes.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah. So
30 to 40,000. And that's a night. I mean, how much money do you have if you're just throwing that out or for a weekend or whatever?
Seriously, right?
Yeah, it was an eye-opening experience. And, you know, I mean, the way that case broke was really very fascinating because the night that Elliot Spitzer was contracted with a different madam, Christine Davis, I think it was, but the Manhattan District Attorney's Office had wiretaps on the principal madams in town, and no one was supposed to know that Elliot Spitzer was going to be arrested on day X.
Was the Attorney General at the time or governor?
Attorney General. I think it's been a while, but the night before he was to be arrested, Anna recorded saying, "I need to get out of town. Elliot's about ready to get popped." And they're like, "How does she know that?" There are only about 10 people in the city who knew. So they engineered her arrest and they took her to a safe house in Manhattan that it's run by the district.
They wanted to know who their leak was.
Yeah. Right. And they never found out, to her credit. She was not a rat. She might have been a madam, but she's not a rat. She didn't have a cheese fetish.
Kept her lips tight.
I'm excited to talk to this man here. Big-time tribe member.
Yes.
Also, big-time friend of Mike Packard, the guy who was in The Mouth of the Whale.
Oh!
Yes.
Look at that.
So it's Matt Parrocchio. Matt, how are you?
How you doing? Good, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
How you doing?
How long have you known Mike Packard?
I've known Mike a long time. We're not very, very good friends, but we fished alongside each other for, it's got to be going on 30-plus years.
It's a long fishing trip.
Okay.
Did you catch anything?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So is there any part of this story that has been reported incorrectly or something you want to correct?
I think a lot of the story I keep hearing is people are saying that he was swallowed by the whale, which is factually incorrect.
Yeah.
Mike, you know, what he was telling us was, you know, he was just on the bottom diving for lobsters, which could be anywhere from, you know, 20 to 50 feet of water. And everything just went dark all of a sudden. And he didn't know what to think. Initially, he thought it might have been a shark. He didn't know what to think. And then he said, you know, 30 to 40 seconds later, everything just went light again, and he floated up to the surface.
Yeah. So he was let out of the whale's mouth underwater. I thought the shark went up to the surface, opened its mouth, and moved its head back and forth and kind of...
Yes, I think there's conflicting stories, and I wasn't there, so you know I can't speak firsthand knowledge, but he popped up next to another charter captain that I fish with.
So the whale didn't come up and let him out.
Poi!
So no one saw the whale.
No.
Ah.
No, somebody saw the whale about 10, 15 seconds later.
Okay.
So that must have done it right there. Right.
Okay.
Right. So it wasn't swallowed, it was swished.
Right. And what it is, divers have a chase boat. So the chase boat, so somebody sits up on the boat above them and follows their bubble trail to know where they are.
Why does that make me laugh?
Right.
When I hear that.
Must have a lot of bubbles then.
Yeah, all of a sudden, a lot of bubbles.
And when those bubbles popped, woo!
And then no bubbles.
Right.
And that's what happened, is the chase boat all of a sudden stopped seeing Mike's bubbles, which has happened in the past, where once Mike stops breathing or a diver stops breathing, the bubbles stop.
That ain't good.
So people initially think heart attack, stuff like that. And then the bubbles stopped, and then, because 30, 40 seconds, a creature that size could take you a mile, 2 miles.
Ooh.
You know, in 30, 40 seconds.
Damn.
And then he popped up about a mile or so from where the chase boat was. And
there you go.
And you got to do Marco Polo. Marco Polo.
Well, he didn't.
That's an extreme game of Marco Polo, though. Yeah.
Yeah, Mike is in great physical condition, but he didn't swim a mile that fast.
Right. No.
Yeah.
Even Dave.
It's virtually impossible, you know, to have happened. And with the amount of great whites we have up at the Cape, that's your initial thought. You know, did a great white grab me? Did something happen?
Yeah.
Did I black out? Did I just lose consciousness?
So did you talk to Matt? Did you talk to Mike on the phone, or you saw him in person?
No, I saw him in person, and I talked to a bunch of people that have all known Mike for years, and he's a genuine guy.
Seems
Mike's a good guy. Mike's never looking for fame. He's never looking for publicity. You know, he's just like, he's a bay man. He's just a fisherman that goes out and does his job every day.
The only interview I saw him do was outside the hospital. So it wasn't like he went to the television station. You know, they caught him outside the hospital.
They had to find him, yeah.
Yeah.
What Cape Cod Hospital, what the paramedics were originally worried about was the bends, which is what you get when you go deep too quick when you're diving.
Uh-huh.
And you get air in your bloodstream.
Ooh.
So divers can't dive down real quick and then come up real quick. They have to regulate. And that's what they were worried about, because if that had happened to him, they don't know how deep he was.
Right.
So they wanted to double check on him, and he was bruised up pretty good. You know?
Yeah.
He was bruised up very, very good.
Yeah, so how does that, some people say, yeah, sure. But do the math on this. You don't swim a mile in 40 seconds.
No.
You don't come up all bruised.
Even Michael Phelps can't do that, yeah.
Pete, I mean, it's a far-fetched story for the average person that doesn't know the details about what happened. I mean, if you hear somebody was swallowed by a whale and then spit out, you know, you'd be like, come on. But looking at the details of the whole thing, you're like, yeah, it's possible. And we see whales up at the Cape in 20 to 30, 40 feet of water all the time.
Really?
It's not unheard of. We see them all the time in that shallow water. And a humpback is a, you know, a filter feeder. So if he's just got his mouth open, I don't think he tried to eat Mike. I think this was just like bycatch almost.
Yeah. And he just opened his mouth, couldn't see, and just Mike ended up in there.
Right.
Well, if you look at the physics of a humpback, when his mouth is open, he can't see.
Right.
So their mouths are completely, their eyes are covered by their mouth. So I think by the time the whale realized what had happened, he spit Mike out as quick as he could.
Right.
It feels like, because of his leg injuries,
yeah,
the whale started pressing down. Like, all right, this is a little bit more than the fish I signed up for. Let me try. It's like, you know, when you're at a party and you try something on a plate, like, yeah, I've never had that before, but let me try it.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, I'm not going to like this.
Right. It went, dude, in my mouth.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah.
I had dude in my mouth. Oh, yeah. God.
I got dude in my mouth.
I got dude in my mouth. Although the whale's like, man, you had dude in your mouth. That is so funny. I am telling everybody. No, man, be
wait,
cool.
Wait, that doesn't make it. No, no. Mm-hmm. I only had dude in my mouth for 5 seconds.
For a moment. I didn't realize.
Right, it was 30, but right. I didn't. Put him in there. He just ended up in my mouth.
Hey, he jumped in my mouth, man. I didn't have to do it in my mouth.
Yeah. No, he went in there.
That was not intentional. No. Right.
And it was only that one time.
We must never speak of this again. Oh, they sit in whale talk. Right. Exactly. Like that.
If it wasn't true, Mike probably wouldn't go back. He'd probably go back in the water immediately. But let's see how long he stays out of the water for.
At least a week. I'm thinking.
You know what was
before
interesting, Matt?
Diving again.
When we, the more we found out about Mike, the more amazing this guy it turns out to be. He was in a plane crash.
Yeah.
Survived a plane crash like 10 years ago in Costa Rica. A
bunch of people died.
The pilot, the co-pilot died. Another passenger died. And I think there was like 3 or 5 of them that were all banged up really bad, close to death, and had to survive in the jungle for 2 nights.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Right. So getting put in a whale's mouth is nothing to Mike, you know?
I guess that's a good point.
A plane crash.
It's a lot softer.
Yeah. Living in the jungle for 2 days, right. Living in a whale's mouth for 30 seconds is nothing.
Right. So we were talking about this. So he was airplane, you know, water, like just don't get on a train with him.
Yeah.
And Mike is, I mean, he's a giant tuna fisherman just like I am. So he's always around stuff that's, you know, has the possibility of really hurting you.
Yeah, potential danger, you know, yes.
That is some stuff, man. That's like, man's work and, whatever.
Click butterfly or something like that. The worst is someone puts a net over your head. You think it's funny. You think it's funny. You take a selfie. Look, I have a net on my head.
Yeah.
You know, no one tries to kill you. Unless it's competitive butterfly. I have no idea.
Yeah, he's Mike's a really good guy. He's been around that area for a long, long time.
What's his reaction to all of this hysteria around the story?
It's probably, I mean, he's got to be a pretty thick-skinned man to have all this not bother him, you know, with people calling him a liar.
Well, you don't read the comments. That's the main thing. Don't read the comments.
Ever.
The comments are from the knuckleheads.
Ever,
I don't either.
Ever.
Yeah. Right. get hurt.
Yeah, and I think he just wants to get back to life, you know, and move on. And I think he's just, you know, happy he was able to come away and tell people the story.
Yeah. It's an amazing story. We were talking about this yesterday.
Yeah.
I can't tell how long I've been doing this. I've never, ever once on the air said, yeah, so some guy was in a whale's mouth and lived.
Billy Joel's wrote a song about it.
Yeah.
Now be whale-o.
People kept referencing Pinocchio.
That's exactly what I thought of when I first heard the story. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Pinocchio and Geppetto get stuck in the whale's mouth. Yeah.
Right. Well, are they insinuating liar with that, with Pinocchio?
I don't know where they're going with it.
We're really excited.
it's just nice to talk to you guys about it, so you guys know, you know, the details about the thing. So if people looked at the details and the timeline of what happened, there's really no physical way it could have happened without, you know, my story being true.
Yeah. I believe him.
Oh, no, totally. Who is going to come up with something like this?
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
You're in the middle of diving, you come up, and you think, this is what I'm going to tell people, and I'm going to go to the hospital and fake all of this.
Right. Where do you get the bruises from? Where do you get... Yeah.
Exactly. Right. That whale left town, by the way.
No, this is the part of the internet that, you know, nobody really likes.
No.
They don't listen to this show. These people who listen are very productive, good, hardworking people.
Exactly. Right. Nice people.
But there's that dark basement.
That 1%.
I don't know.
The cellar dwellers.
Where are those people? Do they ever come out?
They don't. They're very pasty white.
Yeah.
And they were like fashion from like 9 years ago.
From nine years ago?
The last time. They shopped at Caldor's.
Precisely
right.
9 years
ago. 30 years
ago.
Right.
Yeah, not 10 years ago.
Exactly,
not
right.
10.
Nine.
Not eight.
Right.
9 years ago.
That corroborates my story right there. It's so bizarre.
Hold on right there, mister.
Right.
That shirt from 9 years ago?
Yes, it is.
Dead giveaway.
No. This is 10.
Looks brand new to me.
Look.
Looks brand new to me.
Did you leave this comment?
Are you wearing Crocs? Is that a fanny pack?
Yeah, it's a drag that, you know, a good man like Mike would have so much stuff happen to him in his life, but then this, and, you know, people react negatively.
Yeah.
You know what you do? Just keep scrolling past the story.
Right.
You don't have to comment.
Just move along.
It's getting to the point, why would anyone even want to talk to the news anymore? It's not even worth it.
Yeah. Or Mike, wear a body cam from now on.
Yeah.
This way it corroborates your story no matter what happens. See?
Well,
this is what's interesting about Cape Cod, though, is because Cape Cod, so many strange things happen. Because nature is so close to shore up there. And
that's
people come there to see whales. You know, you're standing on the beach and you can watch whales. You know, the seals and the great whites. So much unpredictable stuff happens at Cape Cod.
I'll tell you what, we forget that because we have Long Island Sound.
Yep.
We have Long Island as our like bumper of protection. It's like the fence around the daycare center.
Protect us!
It's protecting us from the real harm.
It's our pool.
Thank you, South Shore Long Island.
Thank you.
Right.
Yeah, you go there where that's the real deal.
It's like, whoa, hey!
Hey, oh, okay!
Yeah.
See?
It's a whole deal.
Yeah.
We see a whale in Long Island Sound, and everybody freaks out. And there's news articles about it.
Hey, my friend's losing weight. Relax.
I have to maneuver around them in my boat.
Wow.
You know, to get away from them. There's so many sometimes.
Wow. Speed bumps.
So we don't see here what happens at Cape Cod, you know. It's a truly magnificent place.
You know, I think if he had a body camera on, you wouldn't see anything. It would be murky water.
It would be black.
Dark. Mm-hmm. Shaky.
Right, exactly.
Night, and then a bunch of faces like, oh, my God, what the hell?
And a whole new set of bubbles.
Not of bubbles.
Right, from the north end, south end.
He had his tank on, so he wasn't worried about suffocating.
Right.
Yeah, you know, he had a couple hours underwater still. He just didn't know what happened to him.
Yeah. He did say his respirator popped out of his mouth, and he was able to put that back in his mouth while he was in the whale's mouth.
See, that's multitasking right there.
Oh, my Lord.
That's smart.
That's nuts, man. Yeah,
that's James Bond. Yep.
It's incredible.
It really is.
It's a story that'll live
forever
in Cape Cod history.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what's interesting, though?
What's that?
And the internet kills this.
Oh, no.
Is this story 50 years from now, if not for the internet? Because now I can look it up.
Yeah.
This story 50 years from now, without the internet, would be Mike was swallowed, lived in that stomach for like 3 days.
Wrote things on the wall on the stomach.
Like, Mike was
day
here.
Day one, still bored. Day two, smells like fish in here. Right. Day three, you know?
Had a little campfire going with oil.
I go for a fish sandwich right now, yes.
It spit him out on the surface, slapped its tail, put him back on the boat.
Right. Or the thing sneezed and shot out the blowhole.
But what a story, man. And I'm just glad he lived, you know, because that could have been so bad. It could have just so it wouldn't take much of a difference. He was just so close. His legs got squished.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been
He's a very lucky man.
I mean, the power of that animal is something that no human could ever fathom.
No. Nope.
You know, so, I mean, he could do stuff to you in his mouth that.
Hey, there's been a lot of this story that you could just take sound bites.
Yes, you can.
It sounds inappropriate.
Yeah, the old whale mouth.
But Matt, how do you go? I hear that you have twin 5-year-olds and they're graduating from preschool today.
Nice.
All right. Wow. Keg party.
Yes. A little interesting. The preschools have 5 ceremonies now, but
yeah.
9:45. I got to go see him.
Yeah, you better go.
Yay. You'll be late. Yeah.
Can't miss it.
Right.
All right, guys.
All right, Matt, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. And when you talk to Mike, tell him we said hey, and we'd love to talk to him.
Look out for whales.
Elliot Lewis of Hall & Oates. Good morning.
Good morning.
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 Thanks for coming on the show. Man, what a resume you have.
Seriously.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to say the name of an artist, and you tell me the first story that pops into your head.
Okay.
All right. Hall & Oates.
Oh, God. Meeting Daryl back in the early 90s. Well, there's a bunch of thoughts, but I first played with them in the mid-90s as a bass player.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is this not like one of the most fun songs to play on a bass?
Oh, definitely, yeah. You know, cool whatnot. Yep. Get that bottom end going on. Get away those sunglasses, too, at the Wayfarers.
I'll tell you what. I'll just be walking around randomly, and then that bass line.
It's there.
Right, and you start walking to it. You want to go to the men's room later.
Yeah, right, you start walking.
Exactly, right. Your friends look at you strange, but no.
Yeah. You must really enjoy playing that song, right? That's a fun group to play bass with. I'm going to let you talk. Sorry. Very excited to talk to you, by the way.
We've had coffee.
It is a fun song to play because everybody loves it.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, so many. There's another good bass one. This is, and you play keyboards with them too, right?
I do. Yeah. Mainly I play keyboards, but like I said, my first introduction playing with them was on bass because I was sort of filling in for somebody back then.
Wow.
So it's been good to play a few instruments. It's helped me out in a bunch of ways.
You ever do the bass pedals?
No, that I haven't done. No.
Okay. So you do keyboards and bass. Yeah.
So many great songs.
Right.
I think they broke the Everly Brothers record for a duo writing top either number one songs or top 10 or whatever. Everly Brothers held a record, and they broke the record.
They did. Yeah, the most successful duo of all time. Daryl and John.
Thank you.
You're right.
Oh, he's got that epic line in there. He's like, she's gone. Yeah, with that one. Later on in the song, like, she's gone. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. He does a lot better, obviously.
No,
I feel like I'm dying.
He screams it at the end.
Right.
Like, you could tell that's his inner soul screaming that.
Right, or he's stuck in a mousetrap.
Oh, what a great, like, those two songwriters, I mean, together, that's not that crazy.
Take peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
Let's shake a
that's
bite.
Still one of my favorite songs to play.
Yeah.
She's gone.
Is he happy?
There can never be what she wants. What? She's gone. She's gone. Oh, that after his divorce, right? Or as he's going through his divorce.
Right. I would think. Yeah. Is he sitting there with nothing?
Yeah, on a
all
box.
All I had was a pen and a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Time to make some money.
Oh, man, I could do this all day.
I have the greatest hits in my truck somewhere.
I really should have got this out of my system before we got you on the phone, because right. All I want to do is just play clips of songs that you play.
Yeah, right now it's a set list, yes.
But just to, reset here, Elliot Lewis, Hall & Oates, playing Ridgefield Playhouse Sunday. And he's if you hear a cover song, it's a song he's played with that act.
He's been involved, yeah.
That's very cool.
Exactly.
Very cool.
That is true, and there's a lot of songs to choose from, so yeah.
Peter Frampton.
I'm not playing a Peter Frampton song, but God, I jammed with Peter Frampton when I was a little kid.
Wow. How does that happen?
I was, 14 years old. Well, I grew up with my friend. I started drums when I was 10. He started bass, and we met in elementary school. His dad was in the music business. So I saw a lot of people, met a lot of people back then, but he was Peter Frampton's promotion man.
Oh.
So we got to see him in concert and hang out with him and ended up jamming with him when I was a little kid.
So you play drums, guitar, bass, and keyboard.
Yeah,
exactly.
And trumpet?
Yep.
No. Slightly annoying.
Right.
You're that kid.
Hey, at least not a trombone player. That hurts. He's getting too close. Boom, boom. Wow, my ow.
Do you sing too?
I do, yeah.
Wow.
He does everything.
He also does ticket sales.
Yes, exactly.
Right. He also prints the tickets. Yeah. He also parks the car.
Hey, Elliot, how you doing?
Elliot does everything.
Thank you for coming tonight.
My Uber driver was Elliot.
I'll see you inside. I'll see you at Taco.
Oh, my God, the bartender is Elliot. The cop busts me for weed is Elliot.
Billy Gibbons, ZZ Top.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's one of my favorite guitar players. I've been listening to him for years. And, he was one of the guests on Live from Daryl's House. And that was one of the few shows where I didn't play keyboards. I was able to play guitar alongside him, which was awesome. He brought some keyboard players with him to that show. So he said, yeah, play guitar, and more guitar the better. That was
show,
a fun one.
Right.
That show is an insane masterpiece. Right. It really is.
Do you touch a beard at all? I'd be like, can I just touch it for a second? That's why it's even soft.
Right. So Elliot's going to get off the phone and they're going to ask, so what'd they ask you? If I touched Billy Gibbons' beard?
Right. There's some stone guy in the background, obviously. It couldn't have been straight.
My favorite. Were you on the Kenny Loggins episode?
Yes. Oh. Yeah.
That's
pretty
favorite
much
episode.
Every episode. Yeah, pretty much every episode.
Wow.
There was actually one I wasn't going to do early on. They did a show with the Doors with the two remaining members of the Doors, and they went off to L.A. and they said, we're not going to need you for this one. I was like, no problem. And lo and behold, T-Bone called me the night before and said, we messed up. Ray Manzarek is not playing bass anymore with his keyboards. Can you learn 6 door songs and get on a plane at 7 a.m. the next morning? Which I did.
Wow.
That's incredible.
You're the man to call.
Wow. Right. I got to tell you, though, it's not like learning Geddy Lee bass lines.
Yeah.
The Doors a little.
This is true.
A little easier.
That would have maybe taken a little more coffee to get through.
Would have taken another hour.
And Elliot flew the plane also.
All right,
yeah.
So, Elliot, I'm fascinated with this. Can I talk to you tomorrow at this time? I do this all the time.
Right.
Absolutely. Okay. We can do this every day.
Okay. Awesome.
All right, you're going to regret
it. Be careful
things.
What you say.
We're linked up to all things Ridgefield Playhouse, Elliot Lewis, Hall & Oates, and a million other acts playing at the Ridgefield Playhouse on Sunday. We're linked up for tickets. You could do it virtual or live. And all of these artists, you know, he's going to be playing songs.
Yeah.
It's going to be just a great night of original and cover music,
excellent,
cover music that he's played
right
with the artist. So, all right, Elliot, we'll talk to you this time tomorrow.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.